All right, well, we have been doing a series on marriage killers. Actually, this won't be the last message. I have one more message, okay? There was so much I wanted to cover, but that surprises you. But I want to close out this series by speaking on an incredibly powerful and deadly marriage killer. It literally can kill the total intimacy of many marriages. It has completely destroyed many marriages. It really is an indicator of just how intimate, just how healthy, and just how happy your marriage is. Now, we have excused the children from hearing this message because it has to do with mature subject matter that the little minds of children do not need to hear. They're usually here in the church, but this is a very mature subject matter. So for those that are listening on the internet, don't worry. Understand that there are no children in the room. I am addressing adults. It is agreed not only in the context of Christianity, but also in the context of the secular realm of marriage counseling, a huge problem, a mega problem, can arise in the marriage on the issue of sexual relations. The physical intimacy of a marriage. The issue of sex between the husband and the wife can become a powerful marriage killer. It has the potential to either strengthen your marriage or it has the potential to ruin your marriage. And because it's looked on as a very private issue, which it is a very private issue, it is kept secret, it is kept in the dark, and many times it's never spoken of. It's a taboo. Especially in churches. I have never, in my close to 20 years of being a Christian, have never heard a marriage message in a church on the issue of sexual intimacy. A lot of Christian marriages don't realize just how important their sex life is to the marriage and how God views it. Your sex life will absolutely influence, it will impact, and it will shape the whole marriage relationship. There's nothing else like it. It is powerful. And you might be saying, well, how can I say that? It's a no-brainer. Sex in the marriage is the most intimate act between a husband and a wife. It is the deepest level of intimacy you and your spouse can share. A marriage is more than sex. But without an active sex life, your marriage will suffer greatly. Only 40% of married couples say that they are satisfied with their sex lives. 40%. Is it any wonder that there is 50% divorce rate among Christian marriages? Physical intimacy has extremely powerful effects. It sends a ripple effect throughout the whole marriage relationship. It is the most personal and the deepest expression of covenant love between a husband and wife. Think about it. According to the Bible, sex is what makes a relationship not just a relationship. Instead, it makes it a marriage relationship. A covenant relationship. Now, I preface this message by saying, let's take this seriously. If you do find something that I say humorous this morning in my message, please keep your laughter in control and keep it to a minimal decimal level. Okay? Sometimes the outburst of laughter can be distracting to other people that don't find it funny. So I ask you to consider others in the room, and if you find something a little humorous in what I say this morning, it's a sensitive subject, so let's not try to laugh very loud. Some may be thinking, why this is such a private issue? Is there really a need to be talking about this in the Church of Jesus Christ? If you believe that, if you believe that it is wrong to be talking about sex in the Church of Jesus Christ, you are wrong. You are dead, dogmatically wrong. As a pastor, it is my duty to preach the whole counsel of God. And that includes the topic of sex, because God has a lot to say about sex in the Bible. We've all learned too much about this subject from the world, or from some twisted, distorted religious view. A church should not only preach the warnings and dangers of perverted sex, which we do, which we have done, and we will continue to do. We're pretty good at that. But the church should also command and encourage the practice of good, holy, biblical sex. That's something you don't hear many times in churches. Oh, you'll hear the warnings against fornication. You'll hear the warnings and dangers of adultery. But how often are you encouraged by the Holy Bible to have good, holy sex? Something's wrong with that picture. God ordained sex, blessed in the marriage by Jesus Christ. Don't be embarrassed by this topic of sex. God isn't embarrassed, and neither should His children of the covenant. They should not be embarrassed. God never meant sexuality to be an embarrassing issue. Usually mentioning God and sex in the same conversation can be disturbing to some people, and they might even think it as blasphemy. So this morning, if you have a hang-up about sex and the discussion of sex bothers you, you did not get that from the Holy Spirit. You did not get that from the Bible. You got it from your background in the world. And you got it from the perverter of all truth, the father of all lies. I'm not sure where you first learned sex or learned about sex. If you're like me, I learned it from the wrong source. A corrupted source. Most of us here, I would say, in this room, have all learned about sex from a corrupted source, a polluted stream of thought. Our thinking has been influenced and corrupted by Hollywood, by Bollywood, by TV soap operas, by commercials, by magazines, by the internet, which absolutely knows nothing about what I'm going to share today about the topic of sexuality. They have perverted and corrupted something so precious and something so beautiful and something so sacred. They have made perverted sex their God, the world. They worship it. They bow down to it. It's an idol to the world. It's everywhere. They've saturated this whole planet with perverted sex. And I'm sure the Lord has His handle on the toilet and He can't wait to flush it. One day He's going to do that. The world will tell you all kinds of lies about the issue of sex. Most Christian couples have never been taught about what the Bible actually says about the topic of sexuality. They have some vague understanding. As a church, we are in the world to be a light of the world, Jesus said in Matthew 5:14. We're here to expose the lies of the world and to unveil the truth, even about sex. So if this topic brings to you feelings of shame, feelings of embarrassment, it is not from God. Titus 1:15 says, "Unto the pure all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled." Please don't go home today after this message and say, "Well, he's from America and our culture is different here." Get your head out of the cultural issues. This is not an issue about American culture or Indian culture. This is an issue about the Bible. I don't think you'll say that. But in case, I will not go any further on this subject other than what the Bible says. We don't preach American culture in this church. We preach Jesus Christ. If sex is embarrassing to you, if it conjures up the feelings of guilt, shame, and defilement, I challenge you this morning to get your head out of the gutter. Get your head out of the gutter of Satan's world. And put on the mind of Jesus Christ. Live in the new creature. If you have a past experience, a past way of thinking, remember that your past is gone forever. When we live by faith, we look to the future, we make decisions in the present based on our outlook toward the future. That's faith. And we should live as new creatures in 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says that the old things have passed away and new things have come. The marriage bed is sacred. It is holy ground. It is undefiled. Notice Hebrews 13:4 on your notes. Let marriage be held in honor among all. And let the marriage bed be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. This phrase, held in honor, means that marriage has a great price. We should hold it in high esteem. It is to be precious. And there is no controversy in all the scholars that I looked at. There is no controversy here in this phrase, the marriage bed. It is speaking of physical intimacy in the marriage relationship. The sexuality between the husband and the wife. And the marriage bed, according to the writer of Hebrews, is undefiled. Isn't that a blessing? The marriage bed is undefiled. In other words, it is holy. It is good. It is sacred. It is pure. It is spiritual. It is righteous. It is of God. Undefiled means free from stain, free from blemish, immaculate, untainted, holy, spotless. So sex between a husband and wife is good. It is holy. It is undefiled. And greatly encouraged by God. The devil did not create sex. God did. It was not a man who came up with the thought of sex or the idea of sex through some evolutionary process. Sex was the Creator's idea. No matter what you heard, God does not think that sex is dirty. God is pro-sex. He believes in it. And not only does He believe in it, He commands it. Amazing. That's right, God commands it. God made us, human beings, to be sexual beings. He's the one who gave us the drives. So God, from the very beginning, placed a top priority on the sexual union in the marriage. Let's look at something very interesting this morning, something I have never considered. The very first commandment given chronologically in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 1. Let's read it. So God created man in His own image, in the image God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Verse 31, God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. You see here that sex did not aimlessly evolve without purpose. It has a designer. It was designed by the Creator. He made two beings, male and female, sexual counterparts. Think about it this morning, this passage. Think about the whole scenario that you have before you after reading this passage. It was God who first made a naked man. And He first made a naked woman. And then He commanded the naked man and the naked woman to have sex. That was His command. Be fruitful and multiply. You don't get that through playing cards. Talk about paradise. This is paradise here, man. It is so sad that Christians have allowed the world and the devil and wicked, perverted people to steal eroticism. Eroticism had its thought and beginning in the mind of God. Sex is not the original sin, as some weird, perverted people believe. It was the original blessing. Think about the first gift that God gave man. A beautiful naked woman. That's reality. You ever heard it explained like that before? That's the truth. That's reality. And the first commandment He gave Adam and Eve as a husband and wife was to have sexual relations, to be intimate physically with one another, be fruitful and multiply. And God said it was very good. According to the Bible, sex is a good thing, a beautiful thing, a fulfilling thing in the context of marriage. And sexual intimacy in the marriage is not optional for married couples. You have a duty before God to have sex together as married people. As we see from the Scripture, as we will see from the Scriptures, I should say that, God warns Christians. Did you know that? God warns Christians that we are not to stop having sex. We'll get to that. And I also, the issue of frequency, I believe is given in the Bible. And I'll show you that too. Very important. Sex is first introduced in the Bible in the context of marriage. Number one. First, very important. And only in the context of marriage is sex healthy, is it good, is it fulfilling and blessed by our Lord Jesus Christ. The world and all the magazines, all the talk shows, all the TV shows from Oprah to that other lesbian lady, whatever her name is, all these different talk shows, they want you to believe the lie that the best sex is outside of marriage. But that fact is not backed up with evidence. It is a lie, that theory. It is contrary to the truth. The history of sex outside of marriage is one of disease. It is one of pain. It is one of murder. It is one of deception. It is one of betrayal. It is one of infidelity. It is one of unwanted children. It is one of abortion, abuse, and alienation. Research shows that married couples have more sex and even better sex than unmarried people that are sexually active. On your notes this morning, I wrote down, or I gave you a quote. Sexual activity is 25% to 300% greater for married couples versus non-married, depending on age. The good news is that most married couples are doing something right. Not only do married couples have sex more often, but they enjoy it more, both physically and emotionally. So we see this morning from the Scriptures the very first purpose that God commanded the husband and wife to have sexual relations. It was for the purpose of procreation. Procreation. To have babies. That's usually the result of sexual intercourse, is babies, to be fruitful and multiply. But don't stop there. That is not the only reason why God commanded married people to have sex. If you think about it, the holy God of heaven inspired a book 8 chapters long called the Song of Solomon. And my friends, that book is not an allegory of Christ and the church. That book is ancient erotic literature from the holy God of heaven about two lovers, two married lovers. It's filled with graphic detail of these two lovers making love. And guess what? Nothing in that book about making babies. You have those real pious people that think that they can defraud one another because they're practicing birth control. Wrong. And we'll get to that later. Let's look at the second reason God commanded the husband and wife to have intimate relations. It's found in Genesis chapter 2, something extremely important that cannot be overlooked. Let me ask you the question this morning. I already said it in the message. What is it that makes a marriage different from any other relationship that we are involved in? Sex. Right? I mean, it's clear. What makes a marriage different from any other relationship that we are involved in is the issue of sex. Sex defines a marriage. Marriage cannot be defined without the sexual aspect of the relationship. It's what makes the relationship special, unique. The very act manifests intimacy and deep love and oneness. One writer said, on your notes, sex is the highest form of intimacy two humans can have, which distinguishes marriage from any other relationship. Another writer said, sex is inherent an integral part of almost every marital relationship. The romantic and sexual attraction between a man and a woman has persisted throughout the ages, and it still continues to be one of the most basic aspects of a person's life. Without it, there might not even be such a thing as marriage. That should tell us how important sex is. It is the defining aspect of marriage. The second purpose that God commanded a man and a woman, a husband and wife, in the marriage to have intimate relationship with each other is due to intimate bonding. God wants intimate bonding between the husband and the wife. Genesis chapter 2, verse 22 to 25. "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Not ashamed. This is the original description of marriage. Man was to cleave to his wife, and they were to be one flesh. How does one cleave to something? The Hebrew word that is translated here as cleave can also mean to be joined together, glued together, attached, fixed together, firmly cemented to each other. What does one flesh refer to? I love when Scripture interprets Scripture. How does the Bible explain one flesh? Very clearly. 1 Corinthians 6:16. Paul quotes Genesis 2:24. "Do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two," he says, "shall become one flesh." Paul here is condemning the act of fornication. Fornication is illegal sex, sex outside of marriage. And he is condemning the act of fornication with a prostitute. He says if a man is joined, that means he has sex with a harlot, he becomes one flesh with her. The point is that we become one flesh through the sexual act. Joined to a harlot means to have sexual intercourse with her. A man and a harlot, they are not married. But in the act of sexual intercourse, they become one flesh. A man and a woman become one flesh by sexual intimacy. Jesus quotes the same passage, Genesis 2:24, in the context of marriage, in Matthew 19:5, and said, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." So the husband and wife are joined together by intimate relations through sex. And notice here what Jesus says. Don't miss this. The married couple comes together sexually, and when they're joined together, it is declared to be God. God joining them together. Amazing. Here we have a very important key to the sexual relationship. And this is the second purpose of why a married couple needs to practice and have an active sex life. Sex forms a unique bond between the married couple. A one flesh bond. It is a bond which Jesus said God Himself joined together. If we take these words, cleave unto, one flesh, join together, put them all together, we have a picture of what actually takes place during sex. Literally, the sexual union is the part of the marriage that glues us together as one. It keeps us one. In fact, the word Mary, can also be used of anything that is close and joining together. A carpenter, when he joins two pieces of wood and he glues them firmly together, sometimes this is called marriage, or marrying the wood together. One writer in her notes says, the phrase becoming one flesh sheds considerable light on God's estimate of sex within a marital relationship. It tells us that God sees sex as a means through which a husband and wife can achieve a new unity. It is noteworthy that the one flesh imagery is never used to describe a child's relationship to his father and mother. A man must leave his father and mother to become one flesh with his wife. His relationship to his wife transcends the one to his parents because it consists of a new oneness consummated by the sexual union. So one flesh creates in the marriage deep intimacy, unity, closeness, nearness, and oneness. Sex has been designed by God to bring oneness into our lives with our spouse. Every time a married couple makes love, they feel closer. Like one flesh, which they really are. The love and commitment for each other is strengthened and deepened every time a married couple makes love. One writer says, when you have sex with your spouse, you should feel closer to him or her. More like one instead of two. You should feel a deepening of love shared between the two of you. This is exactly what God wants from husbands and wives. To be in a state of oneness. Is it any wonder the Bible says and describes the act of sex as knowing? Genesis 4:1, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. Sex involves a deeper knowledge of each other. Something no one else knows about you. One writer said, self-disclosure through sexual intercourse invites self-disclosure at all levels of personal existence. This is an exclusive revelation unique to the couple. They know each other as they know no other person. This unique knowledge is tantamount to laying claim to another in genuine belonging. The nakedness and physical coupling is symbolic of the act that nothing is hidden and withheld between them. So the second reason this morning why sex is so important to the marriage relationship and why it should be practiced in the marriage, it creates a powerful bond, a strengthening bond like nothing else, literally a force that holds the couple together in the time of stress, in the time of conflict. One writer said, the fact is God ordained sexual intercourse as a way to foster unity in marriage. which means it has the power to create intense emotional and spiritual bonds between you and your spouse. Now, without getting into great detail, it's been my experience in the last 13 years of being married that this is absolutely true. And by the grace of God, and I can stand before you here today and before God, this is one aspect that my wife and I have never allowed anything to interfere with. To be very blunt. It has always been a priority, and nothing has come between it. Pregnancy didn't come between it. Having children didn't come between it. No. In-laws didn't come between it. You name it. We have always found a place for this to be in the marriage. Is it what our marriage is all about? No. But it has held us together. It is a bond that holds you together despite our conflicts, and we have had our conflicts, despite our struggles in other parts of the relationship. This one aspect has always kept us unified, has always kept us one. It's always promoted greater intimacy in all levels of the relationship. Oneness, intensity of love. One writer said, lovemaking creates tighter bond between the couple. There we have it again, right? I'm just quoting from different writers' books. Lovemaking creates a tighter bond between the couple. It allows the couple to experience a pure expression of love in their marriage towards one another. So God commands the married couple to have a fulfilling sex life because He knows. He's the Creator. He's the one who brought Adam and Eve together in the Garden of Eden. He's the one who commanded them to express their love in sex. He knows that this is a powerful marital glue. One writer said, God created sex for married people as a way for us to strengthen the bond. There it is again. In our marriage and encourage oneness to glorify Himself, to reinforce the ideas of submission and love. So practicing sex on a regular basis in the marriage is meant to be a safeguard in the relationship. A powerful bond that will keep the marriage, the married couple connected. God intends the man should have a wife and they should become one flesh, bonded to each other exclusively. Recently, researchers detailed how orgasms increase levels of the hormone oxytocin. Did you know that? Have you ever heard of oxytocin? Oxytocin, the so-called love hormone, which helps us bond. Hello, is that amazing? This is scientists. Some chemical is released in the climax of sexual intercourse that causes a bonding. Amazing. This just shows you what God says is absolutely true. It builds trust. Higher oxytocin has been also linked with a feeling of generosity. Many couples fail to see the vital link between intimacy in the marriage and sex. Sex has to be regarded as the most powerful act in the marriage that promotes intimacy. In other words, if there's no interest in sex, it results in deeper problems with lost intimacy. One writer said, the sex life of a married couple is usually in some way a reflection or indicator of whatever state the relationship is in. If a couple was always bickering and always going at each other's throats, you think they're going to have time for the marriage bed? After all that shouting and yelling, sir, okay, let's go to the marriage bed. Not going to happen. It ain't happening. Ruling out any physical or medical cause of difficulty, which there are those things, but rule those out. The lack of sex in a marriage is a symptom of the lack of intimacy in the marriage. No sex, no intimacy. That's what they're saying. Problems in the area of marital sex can and should be a loud warning. Something is wrong in the marriage. Married people are to be having sex. And if married people aren't having sex, then something is wrong. Red lights should go off. If ruling out any physical problems. Talking about two healthy disciples of Jesus Christ. While the marriage relationship does not solely depend on sex in order to be successful, it is difficult to have a successful marriage without it. One researcher said this. Yeah, he says this. In my studies, he says, this is a researcher on sex. In my studies, as well as others, people in sexless marriages report that they are more likely to have considered divorce and that they are less happy in the marriage. He says it may be the lack of sex is a signal that all intimacy in the marriage is over. Sociologist Denise Donnelly explains how important sexual intimacy is in the bonding and commitment aspect of the marriage. She says, while sex isn't the only important thing in marriage, I agree with that, it matters more than many believe. Couples who don't have satisfying sex lives are more likely to get a divorce. And that's something. Wonder why that is. Plus, regular intimate sex can help increase general happiness. Donnelly adds, happy couples have more sex. And the more sex a couple has, the happier they report being. We're going to close this morning. I'm not done. I've got a lot more to share from the Bible. Shocking things that I have never studied this subject. I didn't know when I started getting into it just how big it was. And I didn't know, really, this is what has really shocked me. Because I only know my marriage. And this is such a private issue that none of this stuff is ever talked about. But I am shocked at the stats of how many people. One stat I found said that in the United States, 20 million marriages, or 20 million people are involved in sexless marriages. That's shocking to me. I mean, that is crazy. And they say, they define sexless marriage as having sex less than 10 times a year. That's how they define a sexless marriage. People having sex less than 10 times a year, and they're married. 20 million. Some amazing things. And why is that important for Christians to understand? We'll learn about that in 1 Corinthians 7. But Let us review what we learned today. Number one, sex was created by God, and that's why the marriage bed is undefiled. Number two, sex in the eyes of God between the husband and wife is holy, it's pure, it's wonderful. And as I will show in the future, it is also for pleasure. Many things I can bring out, and I will bring out, showing that sex is not just for procreation, not just for bonding, and as we will see, it is a covenant. Covenant issues are involved, and we'll see that too. But also, it is for pleasure. We'll get to that. Number three, the first command given chronologically in the Bible was in regard to sex. God brought Adam and Eve together and commanded them to have sex, be fruitful and multiply. Four, sex is for procreation, no doubt about it. That's how we got here today. Number five, man was commanded to cleave to his wife, and they were to be one flesh, and one flesh takes place through the act of sexual intercourse. And number six, sexual intimacy bonds the couple. It glues them together like nothing else. It holds the marriage couple together in a deep love, deep commitment, and deep oneness. The more a couple practices lovemaking, the more the bond increases in its strength. Number seven, there is an important link between intimacy and sex in the marriage, which is often missed. Number eight, the lack of sex in the marriage is a sign. It is a warning that there is a problem with intimacy in other areas of the marriage. And number nine, lack of sex means lack of intimacy. So we will pick up next Sunday